This episode of FilmSack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to Audible.com, go to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack and get your free audiobook download today. And by U.S. Dish at usdish.com. Visit usdish.com/FilmSack, use the promo code GURP, and get a $50 Visa gift card when signing up with a new service for FilmSack listeners. Free HD channels for life, free showtime for 3 months, including the new Borgia series. That's usdish.com/FilmSack, code GURP.
You are in direct violation of FEMA Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
I'd buy that for a dollar. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Additional contributions for the show come to us from Franz Wieser from the Netherlands, Ray Robinson, Francisco Souls. This episode is for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 80. Sorry, 70. I jumped ahead 10 episodes. My name is Scott Johnson, and this is the show where we mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. We have a hell of a movie lined up for you today. But before we get to that, let me introduce who's with us here today. We have Brian, I'd buy that for a dollar, Dunaway.
Yes, Mr. Kenny, could you please come up here and point this gun as heavily armed robot prototype we haven't fully tested yet? Thanks. Uh-oh, Kenny, looks like you pissed it off. You might want to consider a brief jog down to the men's room. Thanks for volunteering, Mr. Kenny! I think he might make it.
I love the way they all knew instinctively to keep pushing him aside while he was under in danger.
Yeah, that was lucky right there at the last second. Just about took out the entire board.
Yep, and you thought yours was going to be long, Randy.
What a stupid movie. that doesn't color how I actually feel about it, though. So wait, you'll hear what I think anyway. In a minute, you'll hear that. But until then, we have this. Randy, you have 20 seconds to comply, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. I'm real excited this week because, as you know, we've rebuilt our dead friend here with Cybertronics, so augmenting his human body in most every way. We've solved the incredibly complex puzzles surrounding interfacing of electronic and human tissue nervous systems. We figured out a way to finally calibrate his motor functions while augmenting his movements with mechanically enhanced strength and speed and armor. And now all that's left to do is give him supervision, and we've decided to go with a 320 by 240 pixel viewfinder that's red blue interlaced. That's good enough, right?
That was awesome.
When they put that thing on him too.
Here, follow my pen.
Follow my pen?
Super advanced pen targeting. Also with us.
Everybody noticed, right, that he had shitty vision.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. You're not alone, dude.
Okay.
Interlaced as hell. I'm lucky. I think we're lucky we got color, to be honest. And then rounding us out today, we have Brian, can you fly Bobby Ibbot?
Hi, this is Paul Verhoeven. Yeah, I'm going to need about 200 small bags of meat with little explosives in them. Yeah, are those small enough to fit under people's clothing? Oh, good. All right, good. You know what? Let's make it 400.
All right. Well, yeah, I hope we talk a bunch about practical effects in this movie because... All right, I'm just going to say it. Well, you know what? No, hold on. Before I say anything, Scott Fletcher, let's let him explain the movie so people know what we're talking about. It is RoboCop, and Scott Fletcher will explain, and then we'll come back and start talking about what we think. Here it is.
RoboCop. In Paul Verhoeven's landmark sci-fi thriller, a monolithic corporation controls a futuristic crime-riddled Detroit and transforms a dead cop, played by Peter Weller, into a cybernetic law enforcement unit called RoboCop. And soon the streets are safe. But as Robo cleans up the city, he seeks to avenge his death and uncovers a conspiracy stretching from the back alleys to the boardroom of the company that re-engineered him.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Those buttholes.
That's a great story.
Was it ACP?
OCP.
OCP.
Yeah, are you down with OCP?
Yeah, you know
you
me.
You know me.
You know me.
That's right.
Yeah, so the movie's RoboCop, and I'm just going to say it right now. Movie I've seen probably 5 or 6 times in my lifetime. Probably a little more than that. I just don't remember how many times, but I saw it a ton when it came out. Whole bunch of times on VHS. Couple times on DVD in the 90s. And then again here on Netflix streaming. And I am absolutely shocked how well this movie, A, holds up, B, looks, and C, how much damn fun I had with it.
Really?
I really thought we were going to get a reminder of what a stinker it is after all this time. And I thought I was going to go, ugh, cheese and dialogue and bad acting and dumb effects and all that. And it's got its share of dumb effects. Don't get me wrong. The stop motion in this thing is ridiculously bad. And there's some other stuff that is a little bit glaring, like, you know, Randy's heads-up display is pretty bad. But on the whole, I think Peter Weller, like, enhances the material.
Yeah.
I got really into the plight of the, you know, dude, what was man, now is cyborg, and is trying to deal with that. That it sunk in better than it ever has. I think Red, what's his name? Not Ronnie Cox.
Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith. Red. He is...
He's in Wisconsin now.
He is brilliant. Well, he was born there, I think.
Yeah.
He was brilliant in this as a bad guy. And if they ever do a remake, and they are doing one, but when they do the remake, if they don't hire Walton Goggins to play Kurtwood Smith's character, Clarence J. Broderick or Boderick.
Yeah.
Or Boddicker, whatever it is. If they don't have Walton Goggins from The Shield, and he's currently Unjustified, if they don't have that guy play him, they're making a huge mistake.
He was awesome.
Because he channeled... I feel like Walton Goggins channels Red from the 80s from this movie. Whenever he plays that character, he's really good at it. But on the whole, I walked away from this going, oh my gosh, I really like RoboCop, like a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I have seen this movie so many times, and it has a place in my heart. But this is the first time I've watched it critically in a while. And I was kind of disappointed.
Oh.
There were points that I was disappointed.
Is there a Team Gibbet?
There is somewhat of a Team Gibbet. I don't think I enjoyed it nearly as much as you. I don't think anybody enjoyed it.
I know it. I don't think anyone's ever enjoyed RoboCop as much as you. Ever.
But, you know what? Overall, it does hold up. I got to say, I was surprised, too, that it held up because I remember a little bit different movie. I haven't seen it in about 10 years, probably, aside from about 5 minutes on HBO about a month ago.
Right.
But, right. I'm surprised at you know, what a different movie I thought it was than on just watching it recently. As far as like it's action from beginning to end. There is no, you know, all right, here's a little meandering scene to just kind of edge the plot forward a little slowly. No, I mean, you go from action to here's this guy betraying this guy, and here's this other guy doing this to this other guy, and let's hand out some guns and let's blow up some cars, et cetera, et cetera. And it's action all the way through, but it never feels like action for action's sake. And I think that's what I remember it being before. Now I think it's gore for gore's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a deluxe Johnson team perhaps?
I loved it. I loved it. I want to agree with Brian Ibbitt that there's only one principal female in the film. It was the 80s. That's how they did it. And she, even in scenes where she is trying to figure out what's going on and she's a really interesting character, you feel like they just get to the point where she's going to act. And then they get to some people shooting people. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's one scene where they focus on her face and she does this incredible job of getting past her fear that it really is who she thinks it is. And then just as you're about to think, wow, this is really good. This is not the movie I was expecting. Oh, no, we're back to cars going really fast and shooting people.
That's true. There's no question that's true. But there was a comic bookery thing going on that I forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that the villains are just so clearly villains. But at the same time, Kurtwood Smith is playing a very different kind of villain in this. He's balding. He's got glasses on. He could just put a suit and tie on and be your accountant, really. Instead, he is the epitome of evil. He is throbbing, you know, red-blooded evil. And I love the way he plays it. And that always makes a movie better for me when I've got somebody like that. Ronnie Cox is kind of a cartoon, so I'm not really giving him a whole lot of credit for that side of it. But every time Kurtwood Smith walked in, I was just like, that guy is freaking awesome, and he is the perfect nemesis. And I love the whole what was it called? They had the four things: uphold the law.
The four directives. Right.
The four directives. Fourth directive was the one where you couldn't kill or arrest anybody who worked for the company and not hire whatever. That was a really cool thing. It was kind of tropey, but also still kind of cool. It's lifted from lots of stuff, but. I think the edge to the like if they make a new one, if it isn't hard R, I'll be disappointed because
it has to be hard R. But my complaints with the movie were I just didn't like the news reporting. It was okay. I remember this movie being cutting edge and smart and you know just intense and just some of the best special effects I've ever seen. Ended up being kind of campy and
reminded you a little of Predator 2?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. It reminded me of Predator 2. It was kind of over the tops, except for the primary bad guys. Everybody else was laughing hyenas, you know, on drugs and just.
You mean like, that? Wait, you mean this guy?
I took her out.
Yeah,
that guy.
It's kind of crap all through the movie. That's like this. Taking me out and making me like go, man, this is dated. I didn't feel like it was going to be dated because I've seen this movie not that long ago. But
totally the opposite. It didn't feel like one of these 80s movies we've seen. I don't know if I was in the wrong mood or the right mood or the something was going on with me. But
well, I want to take what you said about Kurtwood Smith and I want to say it applies to two other people for sure. And you know, no slight against Peter Weller because I think he did a great job. But yeah. Miguel Ferrer and Paul McCrane. Paul McCrane, the you know Dr. Romano from ER,
he was great.
And those three guys are. This is their movie. I mean, this is really you know they were told to kind of just run with the characters. I'm sure, and they did. And it would be hard for me in a sequel to or not a sequel, but a remake to not see those guys in those roles.
Yeah.
And crap like TJ Laser.
that was awesome.
Talk about not even really disguising what you're ripping off. Oh, not TJ Hooker.
But I love that because at the time when I was younger, I thought, oh, I don't even know what they're referring to. I didn't click with me that they're making fun of TJ Hooker, but it landed on me like a brick this time.
They weren't making fun of it. It was just poorly executed. And
I disagree. I think that was brilliant. Yeah.
And then what about when they talked about the car? They said, I'm getting a 6,000 SUX.
That was stupid. That was stupid as
hell. I thought it was smart when it was said, when it was orated, but when it was actually written out and you can see that it says sucks.
That was stupid as hell.
Over the head.
Well, hold on. Randy, I want to hear what you had to say about the other.
I was perfectly set up to love this movie because I'd only ever seen it when it was in theaters. This was the movie that my friends and I snuck into that every parent in the world had said you couldn't go see. And we bought tickets to, you know, something else, the current Disney revival, and then snuck into RoboCop. And
it wouldn't be the last Verhoeven movie we all snuck into either.
It was right. It was, but it was years before I would be old enough to go, you know, legitimately. Like I was not anywhere near 17. I was like 14. Mm, yeah. And I saw it that one time. I wasn't ready to see it. It was too gory. It was difficult for me at that age. And I'm the kind of person, I watch a lot of different movies. I don't tend to revisit films that I know I've already seen. And so it just had never occurred to me to watch it. I've always assumed that it aged badly, that the violence was really, you know, was as bad as I remembered it. Yeah. And then watching it this weekend, I was so pleasantly surprised. And I went to Rotten Tomatoes and I'm like, I need some critic to tell me what I'm missing. And the critics loved it. It's like 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoyed the whole of the film, I felt like Brian Dunaway has the right exceptions. The TV stuff that's interspersed is not funny enough to be comic relief, so I don't know what it's doing there.
Oh, you mean things like,
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Like that?
Right.
No, I still like that. I still use that.
I think it's the news reporting, because I totally see what you mean, Randy, because they had something like, what was the, there was some devastating thing that killed 100.
Oh, Lisa Gibbons reported on the laser. Oh, no. There was the South African thing, but then there was the laser thing.
The satellite laser. They could have been just, you know, dealt with so much funnier, or not so funnier like haha, but kind of tongue in cheek, where they said, you know, and it wiped out such and such country. In other news, look at this cute video of a kitty cat.
The reason that that doesn't affect us the way it would affect people 10 and 20 years younger than us is because we all actually remember when the Cold War was still on.
Yeah.
And I do think that Scott's oldest daughter would watch that and go, not even relevant.
No, she wouldn't get it. She would say, that's dumb. Why are they doing that? And cocaine being the main drug of choice and all, you know, there was a lot of 80s sort of, you know, pokes in the eye going on in this film for sure.
Can someone tell me why they're putting cocaine into those little mana bottles that you can get at Hot Topic full of?
little mana bottles.
That's awesome.
It's the little energy drink mana bottles you can get at Hot Topic.
I just think it's so inefficient when you're supposed to keep your cocaine between your hooker's breasts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, duh. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So it's Paul Verhoeven. We know him also from the Total Recall and the Showgirls and the Starship Troopers that came later.
Yep.
Didn't really do much after the 2000. I forgot the movie now. There was something I saw and went, oh, yeah, in 2000 he kind of got the idea he should quit doing this. Oh, I know what it was. Not Basic Instinct of Sugar. Oh, it was Hollow Man. Really not much since then.
No.
Something called Black Book in 06, and he's working on something now called Hidden Force. I don't know what any of that is, but I think we can all say that, you know, Total Recall, even Starship Troopers in a kind of a dumb cheeseball way was these all feel like Verhoeven movies.
Absolutely.
Even Hollow Man, really. I mean, when you think about it,
he's got a style.
He does have a style.
I think of Starship Troopers in this is like, to me, that's his style. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And he does that kind of crap in Starship Troopers, too.
And Total Recall.
Total. Pop culture interspersed with storyline, where you've got the news, you've got the, join your fellow men against the bugs of Butchabur.
Yeah. And he's
Butchabukuzit.
He's Dutch, by the way, for anyone thinking he's German. He's Dutch.
Mm-hmm. That explains a lot.
Yeah. That's where, you know, that's the dude what did Human Centipede from...
It makes sense that the guy who shot Sharon Stone's vulva would be from the Netherlands, right?
Yeah. The Nederlands, yep. And is also responsible for directing the single most, like, controversial NC-17 film of all time, I think. I mean, I think Showgirls is still... Yeah. I think Showgirls is still on people's minds as that thing that happened, you know, and that girl from Saved by the Bell was on it, and she was buck naked, and... all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's way up there. It makes me sad that he went on to Basic Instinct and Showgirls and Starship Troopers, these films that had a lot of nudity. But in 1987, the only nudity you could put in a film like RoboCop, which was a hard R, was cop dressing room nudity. The worst nudity.
Co-ed, dude. Co-ed. They had man ass and gross boob.
There is no worse nudity than cop dressing room nudity.
Especially when the angry chief is walking around chewing everybody out. Like he is off to do. The director, there's their director. The writers, this Edward Newmere guy, did all the RoboCops, Total Recall. Like everything you'd think he would do, he did. That's what that guy did. Peter Weller, Nancy Allen as Officer Ann Lewis, Ronnie Cox, Kurtwood Smith, we mentioned. Miguel Ferrer was awesome. Robert Duquay, however you say his name, was the sergeant who I kind of liked that guy. I thought he was cool. And this is our second seeing or viewing of Ray Wise in a Film Sack film. He was.
It is.
Yeah. What was that first one? Now my brain just went dead. What was he in? Oh, crap. Ray Wise.
I'm pulling it up right now. Mm-hmm. He was in.
Oh, my gosh, Scott.
Well, we talked about the Satan, whatever it was.
We talked about the other stuff he's in now, and he went on to do Twin Peaks, and you know, he's a respected actor, but I can't remember what the movie was.
I'm looking. I know. Yeah.
This show knows. This needs a chat room.
He was a small role.
Yes. I'm looking through. I'm looking. All right, scrolling.
Brian will find it.
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. That was it. No.
Judging Amy.
Judging Amy. No. Something else. Keep digging. It's low. It's, oh, I know what it is. Swamp Thing. Duh.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing.
He was the Swamp Thing. He was dude what turned into Swamp Thing. And then we got a bunch of other people. Paul McCrane, I loved in this. I thought he was awesome. You know what? Everyone thinks of him as the doctor on ER, right?
Yeah.
But I think of him as the dude who was a paramedic, and so a related field, in an episode of The X-Files, the one where we find out that Scully has cancer.
Right, because he is cancer man. He's he can eat cancer.
Yeah, and he can lose his thumb and then grow himself back from the thumb. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was great in that. Creepy as hell and good.
Yes.
Anyway, here's some funny trivia. Miguel Ferrer said on Making RoboCop, and this is the guy that does a lot of voiceover work now and some other stuff. I like him. Crossing Jordan is his other big thing. RoboCop was maybe the best summer of my entire life, he says. It was summer of 1986, and it was the best part I've been asked to do at that time, and working with the amazing director, Paul Verhoeven. So he thinks fondly of the time. Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, it's good.
Realizing that the film was running a little behind schedule and over budget, director Paul Verhoeven and producer John Davidson personally, or rather purposely, didn't film one crucial scene, Officer Murphy's death. When production wrapped, they went back to L.A. and grimly informed the execs that Murphy's death hadn't been filmed, so the execs gave them more money and time, and they filmed the scene in a warehouse in L.A. Now, that's interesting because that scene is pivotal.
Yeah, it is.
To this movie working, to it having any kind of gravity attached to it. It is also some of the best practical effects I've seen in a film sack, for sure. But even in other movies of its genre and even of stuff today, this was when he got his hand shut off.
You will say the other word. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it's something to see when he lifts that thing up and it's just gushing blood and it's just like, whoa, my God.
That was one of the weaker scenes for me because the whole film is absolutely chock full of people getting shot or thrown off of buildings and then going on to be just fine.
Yeah.
And in that scene, Nancy Allen's character had just been thrown down a couple stories and landed on her back.
Yeah.
And she got thrown down. I thought she fell down when she looked at his. Okay.
Mind if I zip this up?
it's really funny there, but you know, like the whole scene, I'm thinking, okay, she's kind of crawling toward where he's getting destroyed, right?
Yeah.
Whatever she's doing, it's taking a long
time. Taking forever. Yep.
And that whole scene, I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, you went out.
We missed it.
I'm thinking the whole scene. I'm thinking, wow, the rest of this movie, she's going to be in like a back brace or something. Mm. Yeah. And then once you get to the end of the scene, she's okay.
No, she's skipping around. Yeah, she's fine. People were really resilient. Yeah. So was the huge fleet of Ford Tauruses everybody drove.
Resilient after that, you know, you fall down two stories. It's going to take you about 10 minutes for your back to feel. Tip top again.
Yeah, you got
to
give it a minute. Catch your breath.
That's the 10-minute back break cool down.
Yeah, it's like, no, lay down, take it easy, drink a little water, you'll be fine. You'll be fine in 10 minutes. So, rub some dirt on it.
Once I got into that frame of mind, it made scenes like that kind of weak for me. Mm. Like, not bad. I thought it was an amazing scene, but I'm thinking the whole time, is she okay? Is she broken?
It's kind of takes you out of it a little bit. The RoboCop suit, by the way, was so hot and heavy that, according to this trivia, Peter Weller was losing 3 pounds a day from water loss. Eventually,
and was bitching at least 3 hours a day.
Totally.
It's hot.
He says, eventually, an air conditioner unit was installed in the suit.
Wow.
Where can I get myself one of those suits? If I lose 3 pounds a day, fine.
Did you notice how skinny he was before he got mangled?
Totally.
Yeah. Like, even for an actor, you know, like when you see someone on the screen, you got to remember they actually look skinnier in real life than they do on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was really thin.
He was.
And I was thinking, how's he going to hold up that suit?
He's the original Hollow Man, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
He's a thin dude, but I really like him in almost everything I've ever seen. I loved him when he was on a whole season of 24. It was great on there.
Right.
Recently.
And recently on Dexter, too. He's
great on Dexter.
Awesome on Dexter.
RoboCop's... go ahead.
I will say this about him. He was a fantastic actor as far as doing his motions and looking robotic without looking overly robotic.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple moments where the head would try to look like it was breakdancing or something, but
but it was pretty dang good. That's some acting that you might not think about. That's some physical acting that I could even stops for.
I agree.
When he's waving the metal bar that Kurtwood Smith is trying to stab him with in the finale.
That was really cool. And I also liked it when he came out. I guess he was walking through his house when he was having flashbacks and. Robot real estate agent was there telling him about the house or whatever. Yeah. And there was a point where it was all kind of coming to a head and he was really getting frustrated and he walks into the room and he's just kind of turning his head and looking frustrated and pissed, turns around and punches that screen. Those movements feel authentic and strong and emotive and not stupid and ridiculous and like he's barely breathing in there. It feels really, really real. And I guess I really responded to that in this viewing. I really felt like RoboCop is a badass, but he has this heart, and I know it's cheesy, but he's this dude that you want on your side.
He has this OCP heart,
and you want him to win.
Can I go around the table with a little question?
Yes.
All right.
I think she's hot.
This film, hold that thought, please.
All right.
Tech in this film that you hated the most, Brian Dunaway.
Yeah. Oh, what'd you hate the most, Brian? That's a great question.
I love it. Everything besides the RoboCop suit. I mean, everything pissed me off.
Really?
I was just constantly going, that's stupid. Mm. Oh, my gosh, that's stupid. Are you kidding me with this GPS unit for the RoboCop thing?
That was bad tech.
It looks like freaking Tecmo football Zune. I don't know. It looks crappy.
A Zune.
It did look like a Zune.
Like a brown Zune.
Full screen. Yeah. Right?
Brian Ibbett, worst tech in the movie.
It's a USB 3.0 becoming big metal spikes that you jab into the wall.
The ice pick port.
That's not the only movie I've seen that in, too.
It reminds me of Star Wars, honestly.
Right, with
R2's little thing,
Yeah, but it wasn't a metal spike. Can you imagine? All right, so this is the tech of the future. I need to hook up my router. I guess it's this big metal spike that I jab into the back of my computer, the circular hole.
And everything, there were like ports everywhere for it. Like you could go in there and say, what's your evidence, Mr. RoboCop? And he's like, hang on, it's all bloody from the neck of freaking Red. Let me wipe it off and jam it in your hole.
And now think about where we actually have gotten in the last 25 years. Imagine if I pulled out a USB plug and tried to stab you in the neck with it.
Fail.
That wouldn't get me anywhere.
No.
Fail.
No.
Did you have a different one, by the way, Scott? I know.
Breeze.
If I had to pick one, probably the you kind of did take the best one. Probably the mech, because the mech is just not you. It's not. Reasonable.
It's a microphone head. That's what it is.
It is.
But he's just kind of lumbering around, and it's awkward, and you can't get him up and down stairs. Obviously,
exactly. Like the perpetrator has to do is say, "Oh, stairs over there." Okay,
yep. I'll just go up the stairs.
Choose three steps down. Hello.
Yep.
I mean, let's face it. All office politics aside, RoboCop really is a superior product over the Ed 209. I mean, the thing he can't at all. I mean, and he stood there for like 20 minutes straight. Yeah. He was trying to freaking step off the steps and he couldn't do it. He kept wiggling his toes and then he fell down on his back and he squeals like a pig. Awkward.
Also, I think getting in and out of a Taurus would not be possible. So I think they probably could have fudged that a little bit and done some other kind of car.
Ed was overpowered. What the hell? What kind of cop needs that much gun?
I know.
You are
illegally parked. Move or I will terminate you. That was pretty much what he told RoboCop when he pulled up in the Taurus.
But functionality behind it, you know, forget the functionality. It is a very cool looking robot. Like, I wouldn't mind having a model of an Ed 209 on my desk.
I actually think it helped that robot that it was stop motion filmed. It made it scary to me.
Well, jerky, herky, faster than it should be. Yeah, there's stuff going on there. Yeah.
RoboCop 2 was the – I remember the scariest thing about RoboCop 2 was that
the
Ed
–
I don't know if it was 209 or where it was, the new Ed they had in that one coming up that elevator shaft. I still remember that to this day.
I haven't seen 2 or 3.
Yeah.
No, I haven't either.
Oh. I actually think I remember liking 2 better for some reason.
Wasn't 2 co-written, or was it 3 that was co-written by Frank Miller? There was one of them is Frank Miller, and he hates it. He disowns it.
Yeah. It's probably horrible. I'm probably remembering it wrong.
It's probably three. I don't know. I have to look it up. But anyway, so there's all of that. By the way, I guess Peter Weller complained so much about the suit and the costuming in the first few days of filming, they almost fired him and hired Lance Henriksen to do it.
We need somebody less bitchy.
Yeah. And Henderson turned it down because he was busy with a bunch of post aliens like promo work and things and was like, yeah, I don't want to do it. So he
by the way, you've just led straight into one of the biggest tropes in the film, which are in so many films.
Oh, trope. Give it to me.
An actor does not like their face obscured, and you can only shoot so many scenes before you got to take the mask off, and then the rest of the movie, he gets to use his face.
Yeah,
I did not like it. It totally ruined the RoboCop image for me. Mm-hmm.
To take him off? Really? I didn't mind it.
Taking the mask off? I did not like it.
I thought it was freaky and kind of cool. You guys ever seen Naked Lunch?
Yeah.
You want to see a weird Peter Weller movie? Whoa. My gosh.
And I might be one of the only people who really didn't care for Buckaroo Banzai. That's such a beloved, you know, sci-fi film out there.
It's on my shame list. I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, that's a good one. It might be a good one for Film Sec, because I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, I heard that was on streaming and just left. Yeah. So.
My headset just fell off.
Hey, who knows with the connection to Richard Nixon? Because I got a good one. Richard Nixon connection? Former President Richard Nixon took money and was hired to promote the home video release for $25,000, which he donated to the American Boys Club. But still, that's weird as hell getting an ex-U.S. president and an ultra-conservative one at that. Basically, the Ronnie Cox of the real world, if you want to really get down to it.
See, it makes me sad that he gave it away. And I understand how public figures, especially presidents, have to be ridiculously charitable after they leave office. The story was he went and blew it all at Costco. Mm. Like, totally better story.
Yeah. And that's right. He bought a bunch of DVDs, got some, ravioli samples and left. Here's my favorite thing I found. Now, this has nothing to do with this movie, but the brief description on 3, it says this. So this just makes me think maybe sometime we need to see 3. It says, RoboCop saves the day once more. This time, the half-man, half-robot takes on ruthless developers who want to evict some people on their land. And that is straight up, honestly, what they are selling that movie as. So,
man, sounds like they sent RoboCop back to Wyoming in the late 19th century.
Yep.
And the Free Rangers got to go.
Yep. They Richard Pryor'd their film is what happened here. That is a terrible idea. All right. We talked about the man ass and the ugly boobs. I wanted to mention a few other things that I noticed in the film. The initial killing of Murphy and how brutal and all that stuff was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But here's, this is a trope, actually. Hold on. I forgot that this is a trope. So here's my trope. Eventually the brain of the cyborg will come back, that flashbacks will happen accidentally.
Just last week, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Last week was a great example of that. And this happens all the time. Like any kind of robot thing where it's been turned evil, eventually it goes, or not even evil, just the humanity's been taken from it, and eventually, blah, 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 flashbacks, blah, 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 and then it turns into its former self.
When we've seen the same thing on Film Sack alone, like more than four times, that should be like a double trope.
Double trope.
Double trope.
I can do that. Hold on.
Double dose trope.
That would go like this. There. Anyway,
have you guys watched the RoboCop miniseries back from 2000?
No.
Any of that?
I knew it existed, but I never saw any of it.
On Netflix streaming.
What?
Wow. I'll love them.
Oh, I'll be watching this. who plays the dude? I wonder.
That's what I'm trying to go through now. This is some weird looking crap.
RoboCop. By the way, RoboCop slated the remake slated for 2013. The RoboCop Prime Directives miniseries was in 2000. You're right.
2000. Here's the thing. Paige Fletcher, possibly?
Yeah.
If we go.
I think one of the things Scott and I love so much about this movie is that it's like really forward looking about the role of corporations in all of our culture and interactions. And I kind of wonder, where do you go now? Like, after the last 24 years have passed, what, you're making the movie again, you're going to tell the same story?
You know what they'll do? They'll slim the suit all down. It'll be way more agile. He'll be really acrobatic.
Yeah.
The special effects will, of course, be far better than they ever could have been back then. They'll set it in another city, like not
but what's
Detroit.
The plot?
No, it has to be Detroit.
No, Detroit is still suffering.
You think
Detroit's,
they will? You don't think they'll change it?
Yeah, no, the movie is still crime central.
The movie is about the corruption that always comes along with gentrification. Mm. But I mean, like I say, it's so cool in the 80s, and now I'm like, that's not cool. That's not a great issue.
Yeah.
So let's see, a privatized company, basically becoming sort of a police force and taking a so really instead of OCP in the remake, it'll be TSA. And RoboCop will be screener.
If you'd made a film kind of sticking it to Blackwater 10 years ago, I'm over it. Everybody's over it. Who cares?
You could see it being a military thing though. You could see him
doing that. The 18 movie made fun of Blackwater.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But I could see them saying, oh, this is a war machine. Let's set it in Afghanistan and have RoboCop out there, and we're not gonna call it RoboCop, we're gonna call him Robo Soldier or some stupid ass idea. I really hope they don't do that.
Yeah.
What I hope is it's true to the source, it's true to the tone. It can even be a little bit true to the camp, but let's update that some, you know.
A lot.
The person that they're saying in the news is looking at the role is Colin Farrell for RoboCop and possibly Jessica Biel as...
Oh, I would go see that then.
Biel, I'd see.
The Lewis character.
He's a shorty. We want somebody. We don't want him. We want
but
a different...
He can sing.
Different guy.
RoboCop the musical.
There's a little bit of a hook to domestic terrorists, right? Yeah. That's still useful.
That's a thing. Sure. That's a thing. Okay. Colin Farrell.
Have we given up the war on drugs? Is that over?
Hey, how about Will Ferrell? How about that?
Ooh, now that would be for sure.
Yes, because Will Ferrell's remakes have all been fantastic.
You know what, though? He was really good in that author movie. What was that called? Yeah. That was great.
That one movie with Emma Thompson.
But it was weird. Emma Thompson was the author.
Yeah, right.
It was a weird, dramatic kind of twist. It was like Punch Drunk Love for what's his name.
Yeah. Yes.
It was that idea. But I don't know. All I'm saying is someone's better than Colin Farrell. That's all.
I'm just nervous.
I don't care. As long as they got a guy with a good chin, that's all they need. It doesn't matter who the actor is. Don't get somebody big. Get somebody no name.
All right.
No. You want a good chin, get John Hamm. I want him in everything. I'm always casting John Hamm for some reason.
He's got the chin, man, for sure.
You know what? He could pull that off. Absolutely, he could. And then while you're at it, call Walton Goggins. He's a TV guy. He'd use the cash. Yeah. Put him in your movie. He is perfect. Make him the Red character, or the whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Think of him as Red. Agreed. Hey, guys. Scott popping in here real quick to talk about our friends at audible.com. Did you know you can get a free audiobook from audible.com? They have got so much stuff, periodicals, books, unabridged stuff, some abridged stuff. You have all the choices, and there's so much to do and find and have. I know you like the science fiction. I'm going to recommend this week The Gathering Storm, book 12 of the Wheel of Time series. If you are into that series at all, you must catch up and get to book 12. They have them all, but you can definitely check that one out. That is The Gathering Storm, book 12 of Wheel of Time, original story by Robert Jordan. This one finished off by Brandon Sanderson, and I hear it's great. Also narrated by Michael Kramer. So go check that out. That is unabridged and available to you for free simply by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack today. Also want to thank our friends over at udish.com. Go to udish.com/filmsack. Use the promo code GERP, G-E-R-P. And get a $50 Visa gift card when you sign up with any new service for FilmSack listeners. You get free HD channels for life. You get free Showtime for 3 months. Check it out. That's udish.com/FilmSack. And we thank them for their support. All right, my problem with the robot real estate agent is he forgot to throw away all the shite in the house. There was like burnt stuff.
Worst realtor ever.
Oh,
exactly. Oh, we'll clean this up later. How about the
this kitchen is amazing.
We use some fake plants? No, yeah. Let's use real plants and let their crap drop all over the floor. Let
them their half burned photos and bull crap laying around.
Former tenants.
Come That's on, that was dumb.
Yeah,
that part was dumb. Here's another. I got another another trope here. Hold on. This trope is dude hanging out with girls somewhere and then getting interrupted by some terrible thing happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This happened in Predator 2. This happened in everything we've seen, I think.
Well, and again, this movie has no sex in it, which is weird, but this is as close as it got.
Yeah.
And it was so, I like the whole time I'm like, wait, I don't remember there being any nudity or like overt sexual stuff. So I'm just sitting there waiting for them to get interrupted. Oh,
and this was the bitches leave thing, right? Was that the line?
That's right. A great line. Best line. Bitches leave.
Bitches leave. I love
Are you
going to
call me later?
I'm like, come on.
You should insert that into any episode of That 70s Show. Bitches leave.
And I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to insert a DVD of Ronnie Cox talking to you. Like, that's the... Why would you take the time to make that DVD?
Well, think about what he did, though, there. That was a premonition for what DVDs would become. There was no such thing back then. So him sticking that little disc in there, I remember as a kid going, oh, I want that technology. I don't know what it is, but I want it.
But now, again, you're going to kill someone. Who cares if he hears your message? He's dead.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That is the biggest waste of resources ever.
And time.
Oh, I disagree. I think when you want to really, you know, put the screws to somebody, you want them to know that you're the one putting the screws to them before
no,
they
get
there.
All you're doing, Brian, is creating evidence. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, because when you're gone, your DVD's still there with him, with Ronnie Cox saying the same thing again. And then you've got, you know.
Right. And the cops come to see what's going on in the house, and one TV is still working, and Ronnie Cox is going, get your ass to Mars.
Yeah.
Get
your ass to Mars. There's no one TV still working in that place. That place blew up like it was filled with
grenades of the future.
Gas line. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Grenades of the future. Yeah. But the girls alone, like, leave. And I'm thinking, well, no, there goes some. There are people that could pick you out in a lineup, you dummy.
Right. Oh, but they're prostitutes. They're going to listen to them. This is Detroit in the future. Cops.
Weird. Yeah. Weird scene. I just thought that was, I agree. I mean, again, he's dying. Just kill him.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to, I understand the movie part of it wanting to go, oh, look at what you've done to you and I am dastardly. And it's good for us to build the character of the Ronnie Cox guy. But the dude who's getting killed isn't going to, he's not going to squeal or tell the tale. You know, he's not going to go to Valhalla and go, oh, you guys, guess what I just saw. Yeah. It's not going to work that way.
Yeah, I just realized this. We have another double trope in this film.
Uh-oh.
Just occurred to me.
Hold on.
All right. This is at least the fourth time we've had angry police chief. At least.
Oh, easily.
Oh, yeah. That's like a, you can't have a police chief unless he's angry.
Kind of like this one, though. I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
He was good. He is well suited for that sort of thing. But I still say, and we haven't seen it for Film Sack, but I still say the best police chief ever in any film of this trope and this style was from, also set in Detroit, from the original Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Right.
That guy defines the whole genre.
Yeah.
Whatever his name
is. Is this the only time we've seen Ronnie Cox as a, like a, well, I guess what was he in this? He wasn't really a police, like the boss of the police. He was a CEO of a company that was working with the police, but I think of him as like a superintendent kind of thing, right? Which he was.
He was a good guy
in that movie.
Yeah,
you know, his greatest role is in that 2 or 3 part Star Trek: The Next Generation episode, Chain of Command,
where
he takes over the Enterprise and sends Jean-Luc to go get tortured, and he just has this amazing presence in that episode because he has to play a guy that the audience, the viewer, is not going to like, but who still has to do his job and truly believes that he's just doing what he's supposed to, you know? And he does it so well. Like,
Ronnie,
this was actually not as good to me, this portrayal.
Ronnie Cox has this interesting place in my mind as a person who, had he not tried so hard and succeeded to be a respected actor, would have instead ended up being a dude that ran a company that sold, like, cigarette vending machines. Like, you know what I mean? There's a look to him that is so not Hollywood and so not the normal, right, even old guy who used to be leading man looking dude. He's not. He's just this guy that really you could run into at a Denny's and not think twice about, but because he wants it so bad.
He looks like a butler.
Yeah, he does look like a butler. You could slap him into that, but I still think he's just kind of that guy that's like, well, you know, if one of the trucks hadn't broke down, we'd be way ahead this month. And, you know, there's just something really like middle class, middle of the city, crappy office front, something about him.
Now, who was he? I know he's in Total Recall. I'm looking at his bio here. Was he good or bad in Total Recall?
He was bad, very bad.
He was the second biggest bad guy. He's bad.
Yeah, he was very bad.
Right.
He was great on the surface of Mars with his eyes bugging out. Dude, we need that. We need that movie so bad.
We do.
I don't know if Total Recall is unfortunate enough.
Oh, really? Because three boobs and boobs in it. There's a lady who says 2 weeks every time they ask her where she's been or if she has her luggage. 2 weeks, which was really Arnie. That movie's full of sackishness. I think it's been a while, but my recollection is that movie may have been born for us.
When I think of film sack or Schwarzenegger films that we have to do next, like Raw Deal is at the top. We've got to watch Raw Deal.
Raw Deal's up there. Mm-hmm. I can't. What's the one where he's shopping for a doll and can't wait to get it? And he's
jingle all the way.
With Sinbad.
Can we just make a pact right now? Put our hands in the middle and pinky swear that we'll never do that one ever.
Please.
Not even on a very special Christmas episode.
Oh, come on. That's exactly what I was just thinking. It'd be perfect for a special Christmas episode. Every year she's
happy. We're saving Silent Night, Deadly Night for the Christmas episode.
Something like that. So I got a question kind of like the technology you hated the most. So I want to ask everybody. So, Ibbot, we'll start with you. Your least favorite special effect in the film.
Oh, man.
Well,
you gotta say it.
I picked on the meat packs, you know, the exploding meat packs all over everybody, because I guess I've got to carry that one through. I mean, I think the Ed 209 stuff was disappointing because maybe I've just been too spoiled on CGI, but it was made for
CGI. Like, that whole sequence should have been CGI. They were just a decade too early.
Well, it's almost like they said, oh, you know, we could do, let's do this in 15 frames per second instead of 30. You know, it's like, we only need to really have him positioned in three positions to symbolize him walking.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But all right, so there's two.
All right. Yeah, Dunaway, do you have a...
Well, it's hard to pick. I mean, I couldn't see anything except for the freaking Ed 209. I mean, because that was just the epitome of just because this is what, 86? I mean, we should be well past this by now. We know what stop motion looks like.
Yeah, I think they could have done more with like robotics.
Yeah, otherwise the special effects, I didn't, you know, most of it was practical effects, and I didn't think it was too bad.
Yeah, some good explosions too.
Yeah, it was not a lot of green screening or anything. So
how about like melted dude getting hit by the car? That was cool.
That was excellent. Yeah. Except it got a little weird because it went from one type, and then right before he walked out in front of the car, you could tell it was a totally different makeup day because it was really weird and funky and bloated.
Boy, toxic waste in air quotes.
Works fast.
Yeah.
Liquefies those bones instantly.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Who puts toxic waste on the side of building?
I don't know. Randy, do you have a thing that jumps
Yes,
out?
My God, yes, those damn huge assault cannons. It was awesome. Horrible, right? Because he's like, all right, we're going to get some gunpowder or some firepower that'll take out RoboCop. And I'm like, he's going to come back with a big gun. And he comes back with four of them. So everybody's got one. Yep. And every time one of these guys pulls the trigger and blows up a pawn shop, there's no recoil. Are you kidding me?
Are you serious? I actually liked it.
Zero recoil, Brian.
No, all somebody did is they sprinkled Miracle-Gro on a regular 50 caliber freaking sniper rifle and said, let's just make that but bigger.
It looked like they pulled a gun off a helicopter and then sawed off added a butt to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a trigger there and don't recoil. Are you kidding?
They didn't recoil. There was some type of effect because every time they would shoot, their hair would get blown.
I know.
Their hair would go. Poof.
And they had to make it a real gun to get a good muzzle flash out of the thing. And there was muzzle flash when they would pull the trigger. but it was just all wrong. I was so disappointed. Like if that, if it had been one instead of four, and if it had come like on a tripod or a monopod, so a guy has to really hunker down on it to pull the trigger, would have been awesome.
All right,
well, I take it back. I forgot about the future gas. I forgot about that.
the future gas. Yeah,
that was the clear.
Yeah, the clear vacuum hose looking thing. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's still cool watching him walk through that fire and get confused and have the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. That stuff was great. Mm-hmm. All right, so you've all done fine, but I have the ultimate worst special effect in the entire film.
All right.
Give it.
It was when Ronnie Cox got shot, fell out of the window, and his arms became unnaturally long.
That was pretty cool.
It was like a big old like praying mantis arms going... And it was like a stop motion figure with his face on it.
It was. And I love the audio effect. Like 2 seconds afterward, they come back into the building and you can just barely hear a thud.
Mm-hmm. A thud. Yeah. Outside.
Yeah.
And this
outside.
Has never looked, this has never been good in Hollywood history. Never. Falling out of until windows recently, and buildings. They don't look right ever.
Except recently. Have you seen The Other Guys?
No.
With yes. Marky Mark and Ferrell.
Yeah, you're talking about when The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, the very beginning.
Yeah, they go out. That looks freaking fantastic.
That does look really good. Yes,
I just think that in the past, well, especially in the past, that is an effect that's it looks bad in Superman. It looks bad in this, and never looks
Die
right.
Hard.
But I will say, there's that scene. There's a stunt where Melty Boy from ER slams his motorcycle into that car.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great effect.
Ass over elbows over the top of it. Yeah.
Yep. Ass over elbows. I played bass for them in high school. all right. Let's do some clips. Time for clips. Clips are as follows. We got one here starting with, let's see. We Care? I don't remember this. Well, let's just play it.
Is it time for that big operation? This may be the most important decision of your life. So come down and talk to one of our qualified surgeons. Here at the Family Heart Center, we feature the complete Jarvik line. Series 7 Sports Heart by Jensen. Yamaha, you pick the heart. Extended warranties, financing, qualifies for health tax credit. And remember, we care.
Okay, now I remember. The Jarvik thing?
Yeah.
Utah connection. Just wanted to throw that out. Guy went to develop that artificial heart at the University of Utah. Of course, it hasn't really gone that far, but hey, whatever.
They seriously could have been done so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They seriously point to socialism in this movie, talking mm-hmm. about healthcare being, nonprofit and just all this politics about that. It, I don't know. I don't like that. It would never work in a movie today. You couldn't have a futuristic movie and put this kind of stuff in it.
I think you
today.
Could.
I think you could too. And I would end up hating it just like I hated Minority Report.
You but, and I mean, Minority
you that,
Report.
You had that in Total Recall. I mean, you had the... But, well, I guess maybe not necessarily to the level of politics, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't... I don't like when they put that... Like, the first 15 minutes of this movie, I had no... I was trying to figure out what kind of position all the tech and what kind of social life and everything was going on in this first 15 minutes. It was just lame.
Hmm. Eh. I don't know. Lisa Gibbons, though.
Yep.
Lisa Gibbons, yeah.
In her prime.
Yeah.
Not quite like Mary Hart, but whatever.
Nobody knows what you're talking about, Scott. Just us old guys.
Here's some, Entertainment Tonight, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
Early angry acting in the film. Captured about 20 seconds of that. I think this is in the precinct.
20 seconds.
Captain Murder? It's not like he killed someone. This is a clear violation of my client's civil rights.
Make it aggravated assault and I can make bail in cash now.
Listen, pal, your client's a scumbag. You're a scumbag, and scumbags see the judge on Monday morning. Now get out of my police station and take Laughing Boy with you.
Oh, my Lord.
And you remember who that was, right?
Who?
The lawyer? That's Herb Tarlick from WKRP in Cincinnati.
How's that Herb?
What?
Get out.
Yes, that
he
was Herb.
He should have gotten better billing than that.
The actor what played Herb Tarlick.
No way.
Wow. Know yes. That. I didn't even notice.
You just improved the film.
I didn't notice that at all.
Wow.
I was too busy watching the cop. I mean, it's so typical. This is a trope.
Oh, wait.
You don't have to play it.
No, I want to. Okay.
Every cop house looks exactly the same anytime. There's always prostitutes running through.
Yeah.
People punching each other out. I mean, if there was one dude that punched a cop in a real cop station, everything in that cop station would stop.
Predator 2 in 1990 went, hey, you guys, I hear that set, what was used in that RoboCop is available. Let's go borrow that and use the same thing and have our own hookers walk in front of the camera.
No, it comes with the hookers and the fighting people. And
right. The angry lawyer. And the there. Really stupid.
In a real police station, I mean, even 20, 30 years ago, in a real police station, there's this really clear division of suspects and police and their desks, and every door has 17 locks on it and requires a special code. And I mean, that's always the way. I would like to know where that trope comes from. Like, what influences people to put all the cops in this same huge boiler room with all their suspects coming and going? And by the way, their cars are parked right outside.
Yep.
and they keep the keys all laying out it where you can just grab them and go.
Grab the key and go. It's like somebody it's like somebody said, you know what? It should be like a student a commons area, a student commons at a college. Let's go ahead and do that. And then it stuck. And nobody
They've
changed
been watching
it.
Too much Barney Miller.
I guess.
Because that's kind of how that was laid out.
But even Barney Miller at least had some semblance of like sanity. It wasn't like just constant people walking back and forth. I mean, if you want a better example, it reminds me more of like well, maybe this isn't a good one, but I'm thinking of like the Andy Taylor approach, which was like the jail is just like right frickin' there.
Yeah.
You know, and you're standing right out in front of it or whatever. But it is weird. It's a weird way to portray something that seems like it should be easy to figure out how that really is. And maybe that's boring. Maybe nobody cares about that.
Probably so.
You know?
Oh, by the way, I got a Texas connection that just occurred to me.
Texas connection.
The movie's set in Detroit, but I keep seeing buildings from Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
The whole movie.
they mentioned that in the trivia. There's lots
What's
of Dallas.
What's up with that?
Yeah. Well, they're trying to fool people into thinking that, you know.
It's just like, why can't you? I guess they because Dallas looks more futuristic than Detroit, maybe.
Mm. Oh, those buildings definitely were more... more, I don't know, metropolitan. Well, I don't know. Like that one building that they kept going to where Ronnie Cox lived or had his office.
Mm-hmm.
Was that fake or was that real office?
No, that's the building. Building in Dallas.
All right.
That's pretty futuristic. And they keep showing this big sloped glass building right outside the window. That's big, very common thing you see in the Dallas skyline.
All right. Well, here's some words from the old man. Now, when I play this, I want you guys to... try to help me know what other role I'm thinking of that he had a big part in that is iconic and memorable, because I can't remember it. But here he is.
Old Detroit has a cancer. The cancer is crime, and it must be cut out before we employ the 2 million workers that will breathe life into this city again.
Yes.
I love that.
All those shifts in the tax structure have created an economy ideal for corporate growth. Community services, in this case law enforcement, have suffered.
Okay, I think I figured it out.
It's Lessard, isn't it?
Kiss an ass, Bob.
It's who?
Lessard, Sergeant Lessard from Police Academy.
It is.
Yes,
isn't
it is.
The same guy?
Yes, but he sounds like Saruman there.
Yes. But you're right. He's also on Last Starfighter is the one I was thinking of. But you're totally right. He's from – let me just back it up here.
But listen for Saruman in that speech.
He also did some Battlestar Galactica in the 70s, a little bit of the Charlie's Angels, Bionic Woman. Yeah, he's been around. I don't see him in I'm not seeing the Police Academy thing here, though.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe that's not him.
Maybe it's not him because I might have been wrong about –
Yeah,
I got to pull up the picture of Herb of the slimy lawyer because it's showing up here
as Herb Tarlick.
No, as Gregory Poojavine, and it's not Frank Bonner. But I could swear that's
Bonner.
Frank Bonner.
Frank Bonner.
Boner.
Boner. You called the boss a boner,
and he changed his name to Boner too, or Bonner.
He did from Boner.
Yeah. No, it was something like Boers, B-O-E-R-S.
Oh, he actually did that on purpose. Nice going.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, Boner will never be used for anything negative.
We should have a new Senate Majority Leader, Herb Tarlick. That'd be the better way to go. Cox and the Ed 209. That's this scene. Introducing it. Check it out.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the future of law enforcement. Ed 209.
Okay, I did that because... That's the first time we get to hear from Ronnie Cox.
Yeah. I got one of those in my house that vacuums the floor.
An Ed 209?
Yeah.
Nice. Why Ed, do you think? It's just a dumb name.
Enforcement droid.
Oh, thank mm-hmm. you. All right. I lost a little geek credit. I felt it squeeze out.
I shouldn't have asked. Oh, they're going to know.
I felt myself excrete it as I said it.
I was going to say, your geek credit is oozing out of your fingertips like you were just dumped into
toxic waste.
Yep. Here it is. You better do what he says line.
Please put down your weapon. You have 20 seconds to comply.
I think you'd better do what he says, Mr. Kenny.
Yeah, if you don't, Mr. Kenny.
Run, Mr. Kenny. Run!
Don't come over here, Mr. Kenny. Go over there. What are you doing? All right, and then I captured some sounds from that machine that should not a machine make. All right? You guys know what I'm talking about. This is a robot, all right? It shouldn't sound like lions and pigs. So yeah. I give you Exhibit A.
You now have 15 seconds to comply.
That was weird. I can accept the lion things. I'm like, okay, they're going for an intimidation factor here. They probably built it into the robot. When he falls over on his back and he squeals like a pig, I'm like,
yes.
When would you ever program that into it?
I didn't
care. I don't know. That, I can almost understand the lion growl because it's very intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still.
And we used to use a lot more of that in movies in the past. I mean, they used to make a lot of animal sounds, but not as much anymore.
Yeah. It's on. We have to ask for it to be animal style. I don't know if you've been filled in on that.
Got a request.
Yeah, when you go to the theater, can I have an animal style? Let's say sure.
Animal style, thanks.
So we're expecting some perpetrator to be holding a gun, saying, "All right, I'm going to shoot that thing." Oh wait, there's a lion in there. Oh, okay, I'm dropping it.
Whoa, back up, everybody. The malfunctioning robot sounded like a lion. We're done here. All right, here's where we first get to meet Red, or guy who played Red.
Probably don't think I'm a very nice guy, do you?
Buddy, I think you're slime.
See, I got this problem. Cops don't like me, so I don't like cops.
And then terrible things happened.
That was genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Did you notice there were just a lot of sort of shots to various groins in this movie?
Yep.
Right. Oh, you mean man, through the dress? Worst.
Yeah.
That was the worst. The one through the dress, right into the crotch.
Yep.
You notice the other guy gave it real quick when he saw that. Ho, 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 ho.
Yep.
Dropped his gun down, everything.
I like when Swamp Thing tried to kick RoboCop in the nuts and hurt his leg. That was pretty good. I don't remember his name.
So Wise, Ray.
Yeah, Ray Wise, yeah, that guy. Satan, when Satan kicked him in the nuts.
Right. Or Laura Palmer's father.
Here's a great question for... Oh, yeah, it was Laura. Yeah, that's who that was in that... Never mind. I forgot he was in 24 as well. There's a lot of 24 people here. In this movie and Star Trek people, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh no, not in 24. Laura Palmer from Twin Peaks.
Oh, I'm thinking of Laura. Or I'm thinking of President Palmer. Too? I'm thinking of President Palmer. But yeah, he was VP during season 4 and season 5.
Mm. Oh, really?
Vice President. Yeah, he tried to. Everyone thought he was evil, but he turned out to be a good guy.
Huh. Yeah,
Ray Wise. That is.
He's kind of Weasley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes some great facial expressions, especially the end when. When Drippy Magoo Kamado starts climbing on him. Ah, don't touch me, man.
Drippy Magoo. That's a great name. That's going to be your delicious. That's your porn name, Ryan.
Drippy Magoo. Great.
Drippy Magoo.
Sure, I'll get a lot of roles with that name.
Paul, speaking of what's his name at the dance club? So somebody, a RoboCop, pops his gun out of his hand, and the other dancer just grabs it and keeps on dancing. Holding that guy's gun. Oh, that was so stupid.
That was a really cool little scene.
It's kind of fun.
And that's according to the trivia, that was Verhoeven's cameo.
Oh, that was him?
Is it really?
Yeah, he was the guy dancing frantically in the club after RoboCop knocks the gun out of the guy's hand.
You might actually call him gesticulating.
He might have been if it's the same guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. All right. Way to go, Paul. Egotistic maniac. What are your prime directives? Asks what's his beak.
What are your prime directives?
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent,
uphold the law.
It's good. It's very good.
Huh? I love that guy.
All right.
You know what was really cool about that scene? It had a very cool first-person shooter, first part of the game you play kind of feel to it. Like Fallout 3 when you wake up in the bunker.
I love that
scene. And everybody's, you know, peeking in at you and talking to you and you're walking around. It kind of had that feel to it.
Did you think it was, because I've had the same feeling, but it made me wonder if this wasn't an inspiration for now countless games
probably
where I've seen this.
Yeah.
Sure.
Don't you think? Because it's done so well, and I'm trying to think of what maybe had come before, and I couldn't really put my finger on anything, where it was first person, kind of blinking in the light, shutting off again, coming back, people poking, target my pen. I don't know.
Now, that's very tropey.
Well, it's definitely.
In the past, people awake and go in and out of consciousness, but to this degree and being kind of a superhero?
It felt origin story for me for this trope.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely did.
I could be wrong, but it felt that way.
What was up with that lady's glasses? Oh my god.
the one that looks like a cross between Elaine from Seinfeld and Tina Fey.
Yes,
it's bad enough we're already got fish vision and then we get this girl up on our grill.
The problem was that apparently those glasses didn't work because she kept taking them off, taking them off to kiss him, taking them off to talk to somebody,
taking them off to get drunk and party and fall on her ass.
Fish didn't kiss some of those things on.
Yeah, those were beasts. Those are amazing. See, my luck would be... Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. Let me just say this. We haven't talked about the lead chick. Let's say this. Normally, you know, I usually have some problem with the girl. You guys all think she's hot. I thought she was just kind of sisterly cute. That was all.
Yeah, that was what she was supposed to be.
Was that the intent there? Because I never felt 1 minute like, oh, baby.
She needed to be apparently... someone that wasn't a bomb, right?
Yeah.
She needed somebody to be his partner.
Yeah, Paul Bear, according to the trivia or notes or something, Paul Verhoeven wanted to desexualize her by, you know, cutting her hair really short, never showing her anything sexy, that sort of thing. Now,
so he did it on purpose.
Shoot.
Oh, we lost him. We lost him away. He's coming back.
But she was in Carrie, the Stephen King thing with Sissy Spacek, and I loved her in that. I mean, not loved her like she was a great actress. I was like, oh, okay, she's hot.
Is that the one where Sissy Spacek played the car that ran over Betty over?
Yeah, that's right. That's who she was.
That's the one. Yeah, no, it was a dog. Right. She was the
Cujo.
Dog.
Got it.
The Saint Bernard. Yeah.
You know, when we make jokes like that, I have to be careful. Sometimes people take me seriously. The guy in the forum, I don't know if you guys read it, but in the comment thread, it was like, I hate to tell you guys this, but that guy did not play Gimli in the. Yeah. This was from that other one, from the Flash Gordon
Julia
episode.
Julia Roberts was not in Seabiscuit.
Yeah, she was not in Seabiscuit. You got to be careful, but whatever.
It's
a little too subtle for some, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the crotch shot. And I captured this. This is the guy getting shot between the dress and then getting hit in the groin. I capped it because it reminded me of the sounds we like to collect sometimes of people dying in weird ways or making strange sounds. And he made some weird ones. So here's that.
Your move, creep.
I think as far as accuracy goes, about all the screams in the whole movie, you know, Peter Weller getting shot a million times and just going, ah! I thought a guy getting shot in the crotch made the accurate noises that someone would make
most appropriate.
If they got shot in the crotch.
That's fair.
Well, that is the noise I'd make.
Yeah.
I made that noise watching him get shot in the crotch.
No. And you kept – it was funny because he did – I mean, you expect him to kind of point at it and not touch it. And that's kind of what he was doing. He was kind of like putting both of his hands like, ah, look at it. Ah!
He was hover handing. Exactly. He wouldn't touch it, right? We learned about that last week. All right. I used to call the old man names this clip. And this is great. This is a urinal conversation between Rennie Cox and the other guy.
Yep.
I love this bit. Here it is.
I used to call the old man funny names. Iron Butt. Boner. Once I even called him asshole.
Whoa.
But there was always respect.
No, there wasn't.
That was the weirdest line in the whole
liar. You're such a liar. There's no respect in Iron Butt.
Iron Butt. We love you, Iron Butt, asshole.
That's like something like talking about your elementary school can't come up with a good.
And what's so ridiculous about it is that the old man is the only nice person in the movie.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's totally cool.
Sweet little old grandpa. What's your name, son? Murphy. I am Murphy the robot.
He's the guy who figures out how to create the twist at the end where you fire Ronnie Cox and then you get killed.
Yeah, yep. Always fire Ronnie Cox. All right. Here is
take their internet.
Here is the Peter Weller statue thing, and I captured this independent of this movie. This was a Funny or Die skit. Not really skit, but it was an attempt to get interest in this statue that got approved. Excuse me. The statue got approved to be erected there in Detroit.
Yeah.
Of the RoboCop himself. This is all real stuff. Peter Weller got on camera and made the plea, and I thought it was pretty funny. So it's about almost 2 minutes long, but it's great. So I want you guys to hear this. Check it out.
Citizens of Detroit, Peter Weller here. Back in 1987, I played Alex Murphy, better known to you as RoboCop, a good policeman that some greedy punks turned into a heavily armed cyborg. Now you want to build a statue, a monument to RoboCop and all he stands for. Regrettably, not all of you see the wisdom of this tribute to the spirit of your city, specifically your mayor, David Bing, who said the idea is silly. Well, Mayor Bing, if that in fact is your real name, was it silly when Murphy sacrificed his very identity to fight crime? Was it silly when Murphy cleaned up drugs in Detroit and saved the city from being demolished? Was it silly when Murphy battled the super robot Kane, tore out his human brain with his bare hands? All you could see was his spinal cord all wriggling around and stuff, and Kane was screaming, "Ah!" All for you, citizens of Detroit? I don't find it silly at all. Well, the people of Detroit and RoboCop still have many challenges to face. Rampant unemployment, degradation of our nation's manufacturing base, and of course those corporate bastards at OCP led by their diabolical new CEO, Rick Snyder. But together, you, RoboCop, M&M, Chrysler, GM, and Ford, Elmore Leonard, Michael Moore, Aretha Franklin, Madonna, Tom Hulse, Tim Allen, Ted Nugent, Kurt Gibson, that dude who played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds, we will all work to rebuild our amazing city and erect a gigantic monument to RoboCop, the cyborg of self, RESPCT. Find out what it means. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's pretty
great. That's so cool.
I totally missed that. Yeah. And I guess it's fairly new.
It is fairly new. It's only been maybe a month is all, but I had not heard of it until I was just hunting around for RoboCop stuff, and I saw this link and went, what the what? He did this? I'll bet that pushed it over because they ended up getting funding and, you know, not government funding, but enough people interested in doing it that they, you know, got the many millions of dollars it took, but they're getting their damn statue.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
Hey, do you want to hear Alex Van Halen say something in this movie?
What?
He was in it. I thought it was Eddie, but I was wrong. It was Alex.
I saw David Lee Roth in the window of the one of the windows at the shop as they blew up. Yeah.
Yes, you did. But the actual Alex Van Halen playing, he was on a news interview playing an unemployed local citizen.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
here he is. And I think he was naturally drunk, personally. But anyway, you can hear it in his voice.
It's a free society. Except there ain't nothing free because there's no guarantees, you know. You're on your own. There's a lot of jungle.
Yeah, real stretch, Alex.
Yeah, that was unnaturally drunk, I think.
Yeah. That guy, I hear he just sits and just powers down 40s. That's like all the guy does. He is a drinking man. And then finally, grunting and groaning sounds. That's the way to end this. Clips, anyway. I don't know why I did this, but here you go. Some grunting and great groaning sounds. This is Drippy Magoo.
Drippy Magoo. Oh, yeah. I love it. Right. That was like some of my favorite screaming of the movie.
Drippy Magoo.
That's my new ringtone.
I want to name things that.
I want to start. You do name things that.
I'm going to get a cat and name it Drippy Magoo. And
here, Drippy Magoo. This isn't working out for me.
I love that name.
My cat has a pus-filled goiter. I call him Drippy Magoo.
Such a great, great name. All right. So that's it for clips. Let's move on to our, whoops, our Film Sack Awards. Don't I have music for this? Yeah, I do. Right here. This is some awards we're going to award to this film for its fine contribution to filmmaking everywhere. Best use of a future ER cast member, Bald Dude What Melted. So he's in there. Let's see. The None of the Guns in This Movie Look Real at All award goes to this movie. Everything seemed enlarged. Like that Desert Eagle, that was like cartoonishly big.
Yeah, well, yeah, they made that special.
Yeah,
that
was ridiculous. And why,
you know, why give him...
They made that
why
special. Give him, it's why give him special effects.
Yeah. What'd you say, baby?
Why give him a detachable gun that he has to like pull out of a holster? You know, you're giving him all these other things that jut out of his hand. Why can't you just give him a chamber and bullets that you know, jut out of his hand as well?
Yeah.
But that don't look...
I did like the spike's use later in the fight with Red. That was great.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Best motorcycle wreck ever was Bald Dude again. Best use of Blood Pack's tech ever, that guy that got killed on the computer meeting or the company meeting with the robot. My gosh. He was more meat than man. R2-D2 Computer Hacking Award goes to RoboCop. The Star Trek Award goes to Miguel Ferrer. Search for Spock is what he was in. And Peter Weller was on Enterprise. And then Ronnie Cox was in TNG. And I'm sure there are others. It's all the ones I know about. The Tombstone Ike Clanton Award goes to Emil for basically being the wuss that never died till the end. But you know what I mean? Like the guy that always was there, had the gun on him, would run, would get away. Right. Just like Ike Clanton, that bastard Ike
Clanton.
Then
he jumps up, I got him!
Yep. Yep. These guns are way too big to hold properly award goes to those big giant guns.
Those big guns were too hard to hold.
Best death, Red. Death was great and satisfying. I loved it. Soundtrack.
I wasn't satisfied. No.
No, really?
Wasn't satisfied. Red takes it to the neck, and I want a lot more. Like, they show him with the blood spurting. Yeah. It wasn't satisfying to me.
I like that a big chunk of it fell on his chest when he pulled out.
Yeah, when he pulled out. I liked it.
I'm going to have to rephrase what I just said.
We got that with Dick Jones when he falls out the window. Like, that kind of death where it's like you're dying and you know it for the next 12 seconds.
Well, that's what I liked about Red's death. He's bleeding out.
Yeah.
Bleeding out.
Yeah, there was no
Red. What have I done?
No Red Dead Redemption here. Yeah. But I thought the girl was going to do it, and I'm glad she didn't do it. You know, I thought she was going to get up and shoot him in the back of the head or something, and that would have been the end of that. And that happens in a lot of movies. But
that would have been awesome.
Yeah. What kind
of? Like the back of Red's head, and all of a sudden it explodes, and you can see RoboCop sitting in the front with a gaping mouth.
It's good closure for RoboCop. So yeah. Good. You know, decided not to wear his helmet out to his last final fight.
Yeah, you big dummy. The only part that can really kill you is in your face, and you freaking don't wear your face mask. That made me mad.
Exactly. Swamp Thing got a pretty good death.
When he
popped, I got him, dude, I got him, or whatever. It's like, boom, the whole thing just gets exploded. That was great. Mm-hmm. I went back and slow-moed a lot of this stuff, by the way. I just wanted to see, like, how did they, because they had some pretty good cuts on that. You couldn't tell.
Death, though, was another example of throwing a bunch of fluid and salad at a windscreen, you know?
Yeah, that's true. There was a lot of that. The soundtrack, great. I thought it was ridiculously bad. I didn't like the soundtrack at all.
Hold it.
I give it a D.
Really?
Yeah, I give it a D.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't like it.
Oh, totally wrong.
You mean like his main theme? I mean, it's like stupid hero music.
All you ever know is Airwolf, isn't it?
I think the reason you didn't like it is because it reminded you of things like Stripes and Police Academy.
Oh, maybe. Yes. You know what? You just nailed why I don't like it. That's exactly right. It's that it's that Police Academy theme song.
Hold on. I'm here to tell you, I thought the scoring by Basil Poledouris was amazing. I thought it was some of his best work.
It really is. Check it out.
That's Police Academy.
I know, I was just kidding.
Okay.
It's totally Police Academy.
And I love it that they went and got a serious composer for this thing. Like, they didn't – we've watched so many 80s films where they just phone in the music because they know they don't have to do any good there.
Yeah.
And I thought it was excellent. In fact, I kind of want this score, and I don't have it.
Mm. Well, I have Police Academy if you need that, because it's pretty close. There's also this. Hold on. It's basically that. all right, so enough of that garbage. Where are we now? The Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less what you thought of RoboCop. Let's start with Randy Jordan.
RoboCop, Paul Verhoeven's vision of Edward Neumeier's story about the industrialization of society, has as much heart as the eponymous character, about 41%.
That's about right. I think you're being generous. Brian Dunaway.
RoboCop. Part robo, part cop, and all heart.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm Brian Ibbett. No relation. Also, oh my God, those screws in his head go all the way through.
Wow. Can we do a separate Twitter post for that last part?
Wow.
That was something. All right. Oh my gosh. I don't know where to go from there. Brian Ibbett, what do you got?
Yeah, Tristan at one point thought that somebody in here, because I let him watch a little bit of it, some of the
oh my gosh, you know,
the non gory, yeah, non booby, non cop ass stuff.
Basically, all 5 minutes of it,
right? Pretty much. He said, "Did she just call him Hobo Cop?"
That's great.
I said, "Wow, now that would make a good movie,
Hobo Cop with a Hobo Cop with a shotgun. That's what we want."
That's right. RoboCop, you can replace the man with the robot, but you can't take the man out of the robot. No, wait. You can take Paul Verhoeven out of camp, but you... Anyway.
Wow. You may want to cancel that Twitter and try later.
No, I actually wrote all that.
Oh, I like that. It was good.
Yeah, no, I wrote it down just like that, verbatim.
I liked it. Well, here's what I learned while you watched the stupidest show on TV about some old dude and a bunch of hot half-naked chicks.
Mm.
In RoboCop future... Everyone drives a Ford Taurus.
Yes, they do.
Never look at a dude's wiener, even for a second, or he'll punch you and send you stumbling over two stories of stairs.
Before you continue, every viewer wants her to look.
Of course.
Yeah, like, she's got to.
And they're waiting for it. And there's a pause where she's not going to do it. And then it cuts back to him. And then they cut back to her, and you're like, oh, this is when she does it. And it's just enough time. She's the worst cop ever is what I'm getting at.
That's right.
All I got to say is to the guy who was peeing.
It's so
really hard to pee and then get cut off and then be all right, because that hurts.
But you know what makes her the worst cop ever is that if she wanted to have a good long look at his wang, all she has to do is take a couple steps back.
A good long look at his wang, just a
peripheral look.
Right. Just back up, keep your gun on him, and back up. And then you can look at anything you want because he can't get to you fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's according to how big his junk was. Yeah. Maybe not. How far did
maybe
it back
not
up?
Pop your bubble gum. Let him finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was weird. What was that all about?
I kept thinking, ooh, tactics. She's popping her gum to to give an early warning to the guy while he's stupid.
Yeah. There was a lot of peeing in this movie.
Yeah. Multiple. Oh, we used to talk about that all the time. Yeah.
Exactly.
I forgot about that. When there's more than one pee scene, I just kind of forget. It's like, I don't remember who peed and when.
He keeps eating that baby food, but I never see him go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I love that. He eats paste.
He just goes.
Yeah, he's an advanced robot.
Just lets it rip right there in the can. I would so watch a TV show called TJ Laser.
No, I wouldn't.
Advanced pen targeting? Cool! Hey, that girl must be a scientist. Why else would she have those huge glasses?
That's funny.
Watching Red take a pen out of a grenade with his tongue is gross.
Yeah.
Watching Red put his fingers in a glass of wine and then snort them is gross.
And then watching someone pick that glass up and immediately drink out of it.
It's even grosser. Oh, dude.
That was terrific.
Walton Goggins, bring him on. Man. You want the
RoboCop
guy to do
was so inconsiderate. Do you guys think that? I mean, what's her face is sleeping, and he's over there target practicing right next to her head.
And he's shooting.
Oh, my sights are off.
Not only that, but he's shooting food that she brought for him.
What an ass.
Yeah, he's kind of an ass. Peter Weller, more like Peter not Weller. Anyway.
Not so Weller.
Hey, we got an email from a listener, a follow-on, he calls it, from my previous email, a slightly less tenuous connection to Flash. Ah, Gordon. Talking about Star Trek. William Shatner's first choice to play Cybok in Star Trek V was Sean Connery, whose name still exists in the script as Shakari. See, Shakari.
I can see
Believe it or not. But he had to pass after accepting the role of Indiana Jones' father in The Last Crusade. We're named the dog Indiana. The Shatner then turned briefly to none other than Max von Sydow. They had to pass on him, however, when they found out how expensive he was. What does that mean? Oh, we really want Max von Sydow. Oh, did you see how expensive
you can't
he
afford
is?
Him.
You can't afford him. That should be our new motto. You can't afford it.
Yeah. And then it says, and we all know how budgetarily crunched they were to get Star Trek V out, the Kirk versus God movie. Ain't we a bunch of 6 foot twisted nerds? Yes. Thank you, Joseph Cottrell.
Awesome email.
Yeah, great email. Yes. Thanks, man. We appreciate those. Send those to filmsack@gmail.com. That does it for the RoboCop.
Wow.
You know what's coming up next, don't you? I wish I did. Let's see.
Oh, it's Freaked, I think, is the next one.
Is it Freaked?
So this is a request.
Oh, wait.
It was more of a request than a yes. Freaked comes right after RoboCop.
Hold on. Freaked? Is Freaked the one with Ted?
With
Bill?
With Ted, with Alex English, with a cameo by Bill or a cameo by Keanu Reeves, whoever the hell they are.
So wait a minute. Oh, that's right. Because we were, Freaked is next. We've inserted that in. And then after that, we have Jason X after that.
Yeah, I've never seen Freaked, so this is going to be interesting.
I don't think any.
None of us have seen it, probably.
What'd you say? Have any of it? Oh, yeah, none of it. Randy, have you seen Freaked with Bill from Bill and Ted?
I don't even know this movie. Like, I don't know of this movie.
This was an accidental. Wasn't this on TMS, Brian? We found this?
It was on TMS that we discovered this. And it is let's give the quick description here. Ricky Coogan, played by Alex Winter, is the spokesman for the EES, Everything Except Shoes Corporation. The company sends him as an emissary to the South American jungle to curb the protests against the EES's use of the toxin Zygrot 27. Once there, he becomes the captive of a deranged mutant-making madman, played by Randy Quaid. Transformed into a freak by Zygrot 27, Coogan leads a mutant revolt in this bizarre comedy, co-starring Michael Stoniov and Megan Ward.
And
this is sounding familiar.
Is it? Because it's got a brief cameo.
Never heard of this thing before. Somebody mentioned it.
Brief cameo from Keanu Reeves.
Yep.
So, nice. Looking forward to
Bobcat Goldthwait is in this. Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, my gosh.
Brooke Shields. William Sadler.
Seen this one.
It's not available on DVD even. You have to see it streaming. So there it is. PG-13 came out in 1993. That's when Alex Winter still looked like he wasn't 105 years old. Like when I found out this last week that they're doing a new Bill and Ted movie and those two are in it, I still don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, Keanu still looks, Keanu looks eternally young because that's just the guy he is.
Yeah.
But Alex Winter, not so much. He looks looks like one of the, he looks like the dudes from, what's his name from, Cannonball Run that died. What's his name? Fat guy, Dom DeLuise. He looks like one of his. He looks like one of his kids now.
Oh, I love it.
You know.
So for the Bill and Ted sequel or
prequel,
third movie, or whatever,
whatever
it is, trequel. Hopefully, they don't go the route that some movie franchises do, where they have the main characters be the sons of
original. That you're scaring me now.
But you could see it happening, couldn't you?
Well, Reeves did an interview and he said he's very excited. He's seen the script. They're almost done. They're going to start filming soon. And he's super stoked about what he's seen. I don't know if that's good or bad that he's saying that. Like, I don't know what to think about that.
But I also really, really liked the third Matrix movie.
Yeah, that was the best one.
I liked what I saw there, too.
It was pretty good. So yeah, we'll look forward to that. Freaked, that's next week. Check it out on Netflix streaming, available now. Don't forget the website, that's filmsack.com. The email is filmsack@gmail.com, and you can find us on the Twitter, twitter.com/filmsack. Go to nerdtacular.com. Get your tickets. Meet all of us there June 17th. Watch for that as well. And leave us a review on iTunes. We love your feedback there. And friend us on the Facebook. We're at facebook.com/filmsack. Did you know that? Facebook.com/filmsack.
Really?
Yeah, all the most recent episodes are there. You can play them right there in your browser if you want.
Sweet. Ooh, I'm going to go like that right now.
Go like the page, Brian. You know how it works. Social, you know, social. Oh, you know what I didn't play for you guys? Crap. This.
Oh, yeah. Take a look at
my face, dick.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Is that the one?
Take a look at my face, dick.
No, I do.
My face, dick. I love that.
Hold on. Yeah.
Look at my face, dick.
I got Fletcher stuff. What am I doing? Hear me play these real quick. What an embarrassing end to a show. Hold on. Here we go. All right. Quote number one.
There's a new guy in town. His name is RoboCop.
Yes. Here's the sucks.
It's back. Big is back. Because bigger is better than ever. 6,000 SUX. An American tradition.
All right.
All right.
And we got Come Quietly.
Come Quietly, or there will be... trouble.
quote. Oh, here he is.
I'd buy that for $1.
And then finally.
Like $1.
There's this.
You are illegally parked on private property. You have 20 seconds to move your vehicle.
Yep. And if you don't, you're dead. All right. So now that will do it for us. Thank you, Scott Fletcher, as always. Again, for me, for Brian, for Ryan, and for Andy. Now we'll see you next week.
Bitches leave.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.